Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Hello, Elevation. Oh, it is a bigger crowd. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I was in church the other week up in Bundaberg, and I've been leading up there for most of this year. Unfortunate passing of one of our pastors up there, and so my wife and I have been leading up there. And somebody said to me, tapped me on the shoulder one morning a few weeks ago, and said, "Jesus, a pretty small crowd today." I said, "Just wait till the third song; they'll all be in by then." So I was sort of up here, I'm by the third song. You know what it's like, Paul, don't you? So good to be here. Thank you, Pastors Az and Beck, for inviting me. Been a while since we've been here, but thoroughly enjoy coming along. What a worship crew you've got. I mean, I was just sitting down there. I could have just, wow, yeah, give them a great hand, man. I mean, I so appreciate it. Like, when you can sing as well as I can and play as much as I can, you really appreciate people who know what they're doing in that space. They just help us. My wife apologises for not being here. As I said, we've been leading in Bundaberg, and one of the founding members up there passed away last week, and there's a funeral this weekend, so she's gone to attend to that, and she sent me to you people. So she wishes she could be here, but unfortunately, we've just got some other things we had to attend to. So, what a great-looking crew. I love what you've done to the place, hey, since we've been here last. I think God is into growing things. I really do. You know, a church to me, it's not valuable because of how big it is, but I honestly believe that God wants his kingdom to grow. You know, right back in the book of Genesis, we're told to be fruitful and multiply. Hey, how many people know that Australia right now needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need some good news, don't we? You and I are the carriers of that good news. What a great responsibility. So maybe next time I come, we'll have an 8, a 10, a 12, a 2, a 4. Beck's exhausted just thinking about that. Or maybe we'll knock some more walls out. Or maybe we'll buy our own building one day, hey? That sounds like an even better idea. I just had that thought. How many can believe God for that? I tell you, I've heard news of your legacy offering, and I just want to say thank you so much for sowing into the house of God. That's an expectant people that just say God's got more to do in and through us. Amen? And you will be blessed. That's my message. Bye for now. So good for coming. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 this morning. Message I have called. I don't know if you can relate to it, but it's a message I've entitled Battle Fatigue. Anybody heard of battle fatigue? Anybody? There's a few nodding people here today. You ever been in battle fatigue? A little bit of a definition I looked up. It's a combat stress reaction, a military term for an acute reaction to the stress of battle, commonly involving fatigue, slowed reaction, indecision, and whatever. You may not have been to war physically this week, but I'll guarantee some people here have been in battles this week. Sometimes, not just this week, this year, for how long? Anybody like that? Anybody going through stuff or been through stuff? I really just felt God speak to me in worship this morning that just through this service, we're going to shift some things. It's going to move some things over your life. So much is about how we look at things. And I've got a message about looking at things today. But I'm just believing, don't just listen to my words. I believe God wants to shift something over some of our lives, even my own life this morning, as we press into his word. You know, battle fatigue comes to us all, or has the potential to come to us all. We tend to, when there's enough pressure, when we've been through one thing after another thing, we can tend to get weary. How many of you have ever been weary? You ungodly people, you. We get discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged? It's not a sin to be discouraged. It's just not helpful. But it can tend to happen. Hey, I've been through, I'm old enough now to have been through some battles. Even this, in the last 10 days, three people I know, two in the Bundaberg Church and a pastor's wife in Victoria have passed away. And I mean, I'm scared to pick up the phone. What's happening next? I had to wake up this morning to see if I'm still here. I mean, but you can sort of think, oh my goodness, what next? What next? Anybody notice that even Christianity itself is under attack in this nation, isn't it? There are forces that want to bring us down. There are things that want to stand against us. And unless we're looking at the right things, we can tend to come under the pressure of that. And some of us, no doubt, in this room are under that pressure right now. And I just believe this morning we're going to shift some things. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Before I share it, we've got to remember where Hebrews 12 comes from. It comes at the end of Hebrews 11. There, that's my theological knowledge for you there. That's the extent of it. Hebrews chapter 11. Someone's going, oh no. What am I listening to here this morning? Hebrews chapter 11 is what they call the great chapter of faith, the hall of faith. It gives us a really quick snapshot of the history of God's people, and the two key words right throughout Hebrews 11 is by faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, David. By faith, Esther, by faith, all what they did. You know, the Bible tells us that we are a people not to live by circumstance, but a people to live by faith. And as Hebrews kicks into chapter 12, it gives us the history of all of the people that have gone before that have lived by faith and overcome. And then Hebrews chapter 12 talks to you and I. And it says, therefore, since we have been surrounded or are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all of the people and more in Hebrews 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many think that's exciting? How many believe God's got a race for you? How many believe he's got a race for Elevation Church at Redlands? I believe he's got a race for all of it, but I'm going to burst your bubble right now. Okay? It's exciting, but have a listen to the language. Lay aside. Another translation would say cast off. You know, if I've got to cast something off, it means something's trying to get on me. I've got to put things aside. I've got to be able to get restraints off my life. It says, cast off every weight. The meaning of the word weight is burden or mass or bending or a bulging, a bending or a bulging by its load. Anybody ever been feeling like you're carrying a load? I'm carrying too much load right now, but let us lay aside every weight and the sin which ensnares us. The word ensnares means to compete with us or to trap us or to thwart us or to stop us or to take us off track. Here's the best part of it. Let us run with endurance. How many people like endurance? I just thought of another one, run. I can't run very far anymore. That's even worse. Run with endurance means patience, means constancy, means enduring patience, means continue waiting. How many like that idea? I'm really, really, I'm preaching a message of faith here this morning, hey? Listen to the word race. Let us run our race. You know, a race means a conflict, a contention, a fight, a competition. Here's the apostle writing to us, the church, and he's saying, hey, there's likely to be weights. There's likely to be things you got to cast off. There's likely to be things that are going to want to get around your life. Sure, I want you to run your race, but there's going to be things that want to try and stop you. Have you noticed that? It's not just all easy. It's not just a great walk with no confrontation. There are things that want to stop us in our race. Amen. In Jesus' name, I'm finished. Press on. Press on. Do you get the thought that as in Hebrews 11, there was a lot for people to overcome, in Hebrews 12, there are things that we need to be able to push through, that we need to be able to push aside, to cast off, so that we may continue to run. Anyone ever felt like giving up? About every Monday for pastors, I tell you. Oh, who said that? Somebody just reminded me of a football match this week. Wow, it's all right. Wow. Who said that? Was that you, Rob? I won't go there. I won't go there because I could gloat in the victory of Queensland on Wednesday, but I'm still in mourning because of the Wallabies last night, so I don't know which way to go. Here's what I'm going to do. In verses 2 and 3, see, the apostle opens it up and says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us now run our race, even though there's likely to things going to be things that want to stop us. But then he goes on in verse 2 and 3, and he tells us how to overcome these things. Very, very simple message this morning. But I just don't want to know that I've got to keep running. I want to know how to keep running. I want to know how I'm going to get through this race, how I'm going to cast off these weights, how I'm going to get through the things that want to trap me and snare me and every other thing. That's what I want to know. And the apostle writes, looking, simple word, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For not only look, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, and here it is, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The apostle here is saying it's quite possible and quite reasonable to expect that unless you do certain things in life, you are likely to become weary and discouraged. Yeah. And he simply says, there's two things we've got to do. Number one, we've got to look. Looking. Let me read to you, looking, what the word looking means. Because it doesn't mean I'll come to church once a week for an hour, or once a month, once an hour, and I'll think about the things of Jesus. The word looking means this, to consider attentively, to properly stare at, to discern clearly, by extension, to attend to behold, to perceive, to see, or to take heed. You get the impression that it's more than a glance. We'll never avoid being discouraged and weary if we occasionally glance at Jesus. Consider, same thought, to estimate, to observe fully, to behold, to discover, to perceive. The apostle is encouraging us that if we want to make it through life, make it through our race without discouragement and weariness, we got to be paying attention to Jesus. Not just who he is, but what he's done. What he's done for my life. What he's done on that cross. You know, the Apostle Paul, Jesus himself at the Last Supper, what did he say to do? He said to remember. I got to remember by faith all that Jesus has done for me. It's important here that we don't wait until we're weary and discouraged to look unto Jesus. If we look unto Jesus, the wording would say we will avoid the discouragement and the weariness if we live paying close attention to Jesus. But when we get our eyes off him and we put our eyes on circumstance, or we put our eyes on our own ability to get through, eventually the battles of life will wear us down. And I want to be one that lives with as little discouragement and weariness in my life as possible. I'm not there yet, but I believe that if I can spend as much time considering, paying close attention to every day of my life, not just when these wonderful worship people lead me into his presence, but every day of my life, coming back to the cross, remembering what Jesus has done for me. What Jesus, no matter what circumstance may come around my life, that I will be remembering and appropriating what Jesus has done for my life. What has he done for your life this morning? You might be in the middle of a battle. You might be in the middle of grief. You might be in the middle of whatever has come your way. I want to encourage us as a church this morning to get off those circumstances and by faith to look at what Jesus has done. To be people like Hebrews 11, by faith. By faith we kept going. By faith we overcame. By faith in what? By faith in what Christ has done for me. Amen. Let's have a look at Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. There's a few things that I've just written down here that, again, I think bring us back to the point of remembering, focusing, considering. I must admit, you know, some weeks go in my life, this is a bad confession, but some weeks go in my life that I probably haven't really thought about Jesus that much. I know it's not in Redlands. You're a holy people here. This is a Bible Belt. Us Gold Coasters, you know, we have these weeks sometimes where, you know, busyness of life or whatever, the surf or whatever it is, just get in the way. People hiking in mountains in Tasmania. I mean, you'd never have a week like that, but you know. Bless the Lord, the psalmist says, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. What is to forget not is to remember, is to consider. Here's the psalmist, way before Jesus said, hey, let's remember in the challenges of life, let's forget not. There's faith in this room today to put the things, the challenges aside and forget not and remember. Forget not. Aren't you glad there's some benefits to knowing Jesus? I mean, there's lots of them, isn't there? And what the psalmist here does is he just lists a bunch of things. And I'm going to go through them rather quickly this morning. But I find that what he's listed here are things that if I don't consider, if I don't remember, if I don't look to, they've got the propensity to get around and cause weariness and discouragement to my soul. First one he says is this: he forgives all my iniquities. Now, I don't know about you, I've got lots of them. Again, Redlands people don't have lots of iniquities to forgive. How many of my iniquities does he forgive? Have you ever noticed that failure can cause weariness and discouragement to your soul? Have you ever noticed that when you haven't met the mark, when you've tripped over? I wonder how many people are not in church or are not continuing to follow Christ today because they've become weary and discouraged through guilt and shame in their own lives. And the weight of it is too much. What does Hebrews 12 say? Let's cast the weights aside. The weight of guilt, the weight of shame, the weight of failure gets around my life and I think it's all too hard. I'm just remembering time. I better not tell too many stories because I've got my eye on the clock up there, but I'll just share this one. I didn't share it in the 8 o'clock. I wasn't awake enough. I remember when I got saved the first time. And I was about, Paul knows what I'm talking about. I've had more starts than black caviar. I get a new start every day. Some of you old people know what I'm talking about. I remember I got saved and I walked with Christ and I had all these, you know, I came out of a religious upbringing. I was sort of not really in tune with this grace message so much, you know. And I got saved, I met Christ, no doubt, and I walked in this journey, but there were things I wasn't breaking through in my life. There were things, there were habit patterns, there was stuff that was just besetting me. And I remember distinctly after about 3 years of trying to do my best and keep failing, I said, it's too hard for me. I got to do something else. I made that decision. I can't do this. I believe it, but it's too hard for me. The shame and the guilt was too much of a weight. The problem I found was walking away was heavier. And then I come to a realization in my own life that He's forgiven all my iniquities. I can walk free of all that sort of stuff. I can, instead of being discouraged by looking at my own failure, I can be encouraged by looking at what He's brought to my life through the cross of Jesus Christ. And to that end, and then I ended up running churches. Goodness me. I don't know about, talk about weights. Are you with me this morning? Things that want to weigh us down. We let it come around our life. If I had to just look to Jesus, who forgives all my iniquities, there's no condemnation. No matter what your week's been like, there's no condemnation in this place this morning. There's grace for you, for you to walk free of discouragement and weariness. I better get on because I've got 45 other points. He heals, this next verse, He heals some of my diseases when He feels like it. No, He heals what? He heals what? He heals. How many know that if you're sick long enough, if you're battling pain long enough, then it can cause discouragement and weariness? I don't undermine the intensity of battling. I was talking to my friend Rob over here, whose last few years has been through some pretty extreme battles with health. It's not nice, but here's the deal. We've got to get our eyes off that which wants to beset us and our eyes on the cross and on Jesus. Because if I look at Him, I consider by faith that by His stripes I'm healed, and I will walk in that. If not even in this earth, in eternity, completely healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. He heals me today. If He can forgive me, He can heal me in Jesus' name. If you're sick in this place and it's worrying you, it's a burden. We need to shift it this morning. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus and all He has done for me. Number three, who redeems my life? Redeems my life from destruction. When I was without Christ, I was without hope. But when I found Christ, He put the hope back. He didn't just put the purpose back. He put the hope back. He redeemed me. To redeem means to put back. What's He put back? He's put back purpose for living. The thing that'll bring discouragement and weariness is when you lose sight of purpose. And I want to smash that this morning off your life. No matter what it looks like, you are born with a purpose. You are born with destiny. You were created in Christ Jesus before time began for great works that you would walk in. And the enemy might come to ensnare you, but Jesus has come to put purpose back in Jesus' name. The greatest despair in life is that a person would take their own life because they can see no purpose in living. That's the tragedy of life, isn't it? It's a lie of the devil. If we can get people to look under Jesus, it may look dark, but He puts the purpose back. Before Christ even, before time even began, I existed in the mind of God with a purpose. And all my waywardness and all my sin and all of that took me off that purpose. But when I look unto Jesus, he says, come on, Gary, I want to put the purpose back. I put the purpose back. I created you for a purpose. I created you for a reason. You got an impact to make on this life. Let me think. I've got something I saw the other week. I'll see if I can remember it. God has given me a fingerprint like no other, so I can make an impact like no other. Every one of us. Every one of us. Whatever. If you've lost sight of hope this morning, man, I don't know what your future has, but you can look unto him. He knows what your future is. He created you. Wow. Wow. He crowns me with loving kindness. How many know that broken, no one in Redlands would ever let anybody else down, would they? So I'm speaking to the converted. No one here's had broken relationship. No one's had people abandon you. No one's broken trust with you ever. Is that right? How many know that all those things can bring weariness and discouragement? When people I love turn their back on me, when marriages break down, when whatever happens causes weariness. My Bible tells me he's got a crown for me and it's called love. He crowns me with love. You know why Paul and I are bald? A few others around us here too. It's because God keeps putting a crown on our head and rubs all the hair off. Some of you need to get more love in your life. You might lose your hair, but you'll enjoy the love of God more. I sort of stood tongue in cheek, but I love the imagery of it, hey? He's adopted me into his family. You know, some people have children they don't want. No one ever adopted a child they didn't want. And he's adopted me. He's loved me. He puts love on me when no one else, when everyone else is unreliable. He loves me with a great love, a great love, a great love, a great love. I'm not stuck. I'm just getting the point across. The great love with which he loved me. That was a revelation. That was a revelation for me. I think it's in Galatians that says that this life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I used to read that like he loved the whole world till one day I'm reading it and it says he loved me and gave his life for me. And it still hurts if people do the wrong thing by me. But if I don't look, if I look to him and allow him to love me today, then discouragement leaves, weariness leaves, and I feel like I'm okay. And maybe the musos could come this morning. Oh, hang on, I've got two more, but you can come anyway. The next one, he satisfies my mouth with good things. The New Living says he fills my life with good things. We were singing a song, you are good, 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 so good. That was sort of my version of the thing, you know. I was just, because I know what I'm preaching, I was thinking, this is awesome. You are so good. You've given me all this. You've given me everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Sometimes, you see, if I don't look unto Jesus, when the challenges of life come my way, I think about how bad things are. And what do I do next? I worry. If I go through a season of leanness or lack in whatever area of my life, my humanity wants to worry. How many know worry will bring weariness and discouragement to your life? So instead of focusing on the bad, we need to focus on Jesus and the good. You are good. I'm standing in church today. I'm worshiping with the best people on the planet. I'm worshiping with the God of all creation who gave his son for me. It's just so good. And when I look unto him and think of all
that he's done for me. I stop the worry, at least till I get back in my car. I got to look all the time. I got to remind myself. I got to forget not his benefits. I got to appropriate it to my life. I've got to consider the cross of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said this, I preach nothing other than Christ and him crucified. Because in Christ is everything. Everything that he's done for me, everything that I need is found in him. And the last one that I'll talk of today, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is obviously the older service. I'm looking for some younger people around here. Any young people? Any young people go to the gym here? All right, you might go to the gym. I said young and gym. I used to go to the gym. Now I get embarrassed going to the gym because I got all these buff steroid people over there with hundreds of kilos on them, you know? And I'm over there with my little rubber bands doing my little exercise. You know, when I think of youth, I think of strength. He renews my strength. Maybe not my physical strength, but when I feel weak, you know, if you feel weak, if you feel overcome, if you feel like you don't have the strength to keep going, what happens to your soul? Discouragement and weariness. There's no condemnation for you if you're feeling that today. My message isn't about not feeling it. My message is about where we're going to look. Because when I look to him, when I consider him, when it's almost like this morning, when I fix my gaze, as I said before, it's not a glance. It's not just look as Jesus passes or the week passes. As I fix my gaze on him, my strength returns. My perspective returns. I'm looking at truth, not circumstance. I remember, if we had communion this morning, I'd lead you in it right now to take the cup and to take the bread. We don't need them physically. We can take them in the spirit. I can take the cup and I can take the bread and I can remember in the face of the calamity in my life, he did this for me. I can look to him and in him is the answer for my life and in him is the encouragement and in him, what did we sing this morning? I speak life. In his name is life. In his name is power. In his name is everything. And this morning, it's not whether you're discouraged, it's where you're looking. I believe, as I'm going to ask the musicians in just a minute to lead us back into that song, I want us to stand. Why don't we stand right now? I want us to be a people, discouraged or not. Here's the thing. Don't wait to be discouraged before you look. Look every day. Look every minute. Gaze. Fix. You know, what was that old song that says something about the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, I remember some things about music. Hey, when the things of this world, the discouragement that wants to get around my life, the lies of the enemy, the things that want to weigh me down, they want to ensnare me, they want to trap me, they grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Why don't we close our eyes this morning? I just want to say this over your lives right now. Wherever you are, wherever you are, wherever you are, there is grace for you this morning in this house. If you're a follower of Christ here today, you're going through a battle. I declare over your life, there is power and there is grace for you right now. I speak encouragement in the face of discouragement. I speak life and love in the place of weariness. I speak it over your life. I declare it over your life. I bring it into the spirit over your life this morning. And you may be in this place and you wouldn't say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You would say you were far from God. You would say you were one that maybe, as I said, was same as my life, that guilt and shame have weighed you down. Failure has weighed you down. You may know there is a God, but you know that you are not in relationship with that God. Your confidence before that God has waned or is not there right now. I want to invite you this morning. You only have to do one thing. You have to turn and you have to look to Him. You have to put your faith in Him. It may not look like your circumstances changed on the outside, but as you put your faith in Him and you remember what He did on a cross to forgive you of your sins, to secure your eternity, to bring life to you where there's been death, to bring encouragement to you where there's been failure. That to you this morning is what He will do if you will turn. If you will turn. If you will turn. Oh, it seems so simple, yet it is so profound. The minute I turned to Jesus, my burdens, not my challenges, but my burdens got lighter. Because look at the burden of my guilt, burden of my shame, the burden of my lack of direction got lighter because I was looking unto Jesus. Right now, if you're in this house, we're going to sing a song. Before we do that, I want all of us to pray out loud. Lord Jesus, we look to You. We thank You for all You've done for us. We thank You that You carry our burdens. You forgive our sins. You heal our diseases. And today again, Lord, we look to You. Save us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.